meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so thank you for joining the RDN Implementation Guidelines Working Group. It is 29th of June 2017. We have Edmund, Mats, Dennis, Carl, and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Sarmad. I guess I again apologize for missing the last call. So I understand that we are through RYSG comment 6. Unless there's anything that we need to rehash, we will and get started at, for the meeting at RYSG comment 7.
Just a comment. We agreed last time that we go through it, and then we have to look at it again to get a more complete picture. I'm sorry, Dennis, I broke in.
No worries. Dennis?
Dennis? Hi, Alan. Hi, all. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So I think for 6, number 6 comment from the Registered Stakeholder Group, I think the two of you or one of you were going to feedback from the Registered Stakeholder Group as far as the implementation of it. Did that occur, or will that be at the end of the that we'll review all of the comments and then we will seek feedback for if any other implementation plan?
Seven. I think it probably makes more sense to go through at least all the RYSG comments and get feedback from them as a whole, unless there's any reason why we have to single out one or two to immediately get feedback. Does that make sense, Matt? Others?
I think so. It makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. A valid point, Edmond. Yeah.
So I apologize again. I haven't reviewed the minutes, but I'm guessing it's in there. But Dennis, sorry, you were saying?
I was saying I agree. Let's go all through the all of the Registered Stakeholder Group comments, and if we have any other feedback that we need, we just knock them out at once and not piecemeal.
Okay. So let's start with comment 7. It suggested that guideline 9, the definition of stability, is too broad, too open. The relevant standards should only be standards track or best practice RFCs by IETF. I'm still trying to pull up the actual document, so if anyone has understand what the 9 is and have any comment on that.
Yeah,
Matt, please go ahead.
Yeah, in number 9, we refer to the reference second level LGRs that are created on the purpose that there's a need of more restrictions, so to say, more advice than just the RFCs. I think it's quite obvious that the IDN need more structure than the RFCs did. So,
Okay, thank you. Dennis?
Yeah, so guideline, I think the research holding group concerned with the guideline is the definition of a stability that we footnoted. And so the footnote goes that, I'm just going to read it, right? So the definition of stability that we're using is an effect on stability shall mean that the proposed registry service, A, is not compliant with applicable relevant standards that are authoritative and published by well-established, recognized, and authoritative standards bodies such as relevant standards track or best current practices RFCs sponsored by the IETF. And so the registry stakeholder group concern is that this definition is too broad, because who is a recognized and authoritative standard body other than the IETF, right? So what the registry stakeholder group is proposing is that the only standard body that we recognize for stability in this context of IDN guidelines is the IETF. So, effectively narrow the definition that stability is non-compliance with IETF RFCs.
Please go ahead and look at B too.
Sorry, B two?
Yes, instability, because there's. I mean, there's a second B, which is even more broad and open. So it's either not compliant with the RFCs or create a condition that adversely affects the throughput, response time, consistency, or coherence of responses to internet servers or end systems operating in accordance with applicable relevant standards that are authoritative and published by well-established, recognized, and authoritative standard body, such as, etc. So,
right. So this is concerning the footnote number 3. On this ability, I guess that's exactly where we want to focus our attention on. Are we okay with the suggestion that we, in light of the, you know, what this document does, to contain it as suggested by the ROISG? Is there any reason why that's not a good idea?
Well, this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Matt, Cal, and then I get
yeah.
Matt, you will again. Okay, Cal?
Yeah, I wrote a comment in the chat just quickly saying I wasn't concerned about just restricting it to the IETF, but it's just occurred to me that under some circumstances, and we've seen this in the past, both the IAB and the Unicode Consortium have made general suggestions. IAB has been more specific to IDNs, but the Unicode Consortium makes general observations about IDN-relevant stability issues as well as security issues. Not all of their recommendations become standards via the IETF. They might become some kind of practice, which might become consensus policy or through some other way. So I'm generally comfortable with restricting it to the IETF. I'm just wondering if maybe we're making it too narrow or if it's even a concern at all, leaving out things like the IETF and, sorry, the IAB or the Unicode Consortium. So I'm just sort of throwing that out there for people to consider.
Yeah, good point, Cal, and SAC as well, I guess. Mats and then Samad.
Yes, I think it would be too narrow to have just IETF. I definitely think that Unicode Consortium, ESAC, and IAB should be included as references or authoritative sources. Secondly, this is more editorial thing. I find this footnote too too heavy to be a footnote because it defines a lot of things. I mean, footnotes should be more useful for references or some explanation, but this is really heavy, heavy stuff. So I think that we should lift it up as a recommendation rather than just having it as a footnote or part of some definition, more like ordinary text.
Okay. I guess we're trying to make it an explanation. If we want, we can put in the glossary. I think it would be in the reverse. I think it would be too bulky to be included in the main recommendations because this is not recommendation from this group because this group is not supposed to define what stability means. But I guess we were forced to that because it's part of the text and we wanted to make sure people don't get too scared off by it being too broad, which is precisely I guess what ROIC is saying. Sorry for the long intervention, but Samad, and then I don't know, Cal, if that's a new hand or not. Samad and then Cal.
Thank you, Edmund. First, I would like to agree with Cal that, and I guess an example is a recent IAB advisory, or not so recent IAB advisory, which was, I guess, more related to security, where it said that certain, because of introduction of certain code points, a particular, use of Unicode beyond a particular version should not be allowed until that particular problem is resolved. And of course, that advisory is beyond, just the best current practice or standard track RFCs, but something like that is very significant as far as implementation is concerned. So there are certainly things, and as was also noted, there are there's feedback from SAC, which obviously needs to be taken in account as well. So I think those are just limiting it to RFCs and maybe just too narrow. The second point I wanted to, remind all of us was that this definition has been picked up from the, it's a formal definition of security and stability, which is used within the GTLD framework. I think it was probably worked on very carefully by the legal teams. And if we, go and arbitrarily change it, there may actually be implications. So I'm not really sure how easy it would be to recraft a definition of security and stability in that context. Thank you.
Good point, Sama. Exactly why was the thinking about we shouldn't be determining it. Max?
Just a comment on where things should be. I suggest that we add this to the terminology section instead, where we explain what we mean by security and stability respectively. And if this text is a direct copy of something, then we should maybe point at the source of that. If it isn't, it means that we have rewritten it anyway. So then I think that we could do adjustments to it if we feel so. So, but is it a direct copy?
And I think Sama just put it down, but Cal before that, they would probably add to that. So Cal first and then Sama. Cal?
Thanks, and I'm also interested in Sama's response on that. I was thinking about some issues that the IAB raised a couple of years ago, specifically with Arabic, and it occurs to me that one of the interesting things is that there was no clear advice on what to do. There were concerns and some general advice, but there weren't specific actions. So I'm wondering what sort of direction we want these guidelines to be, because if, bearing in mind that there will be some kind of compliance around anything that we put in this document, I'm trying to look forward if such similar advice were released after these guidelines have been published and effectively within people's contracts, and the IAB makes a general comment or Unicode makes an observation about some possible security issues, but they don't actually recommend any particular action. We need to bear that in mind in terms of how that applies to contracted parties, because if a contracted party looks at those at the recommendations from the IAB and concludes, well, that they're fine because of their particular policies. For example, in our case, we did not actually have all of the code points involved that the IAB was concerned about, simply because of choice. Is that enough? Because by putting someone into these guidelines, we're effectively making them that they can define elements of the compliance or the contract. So if they're going to be making general statements, and this would apply also to the SAC, who don't make specific recommendations very often, then we might be in a challenging compliance position. So we may want to restrict it to consensus policies or something like that. We may wish to change our terminology if we want to be held to the letter of these guidelines.
Thank you, Colin. Just for clarity, I guess you're really saying that what we do not want to do in this group is to inadvertently put registries require more than what IDN is really about. They're, you know, and it actually has an inadvertently implication on some of the things that really wasn't supposed to be a contractual compliance for registries, but then because through this document it might be. Did I understand correctly that that's one of the main points that you want to point out? Yeah, okay. So I have Samad and then Dennis.
So I just wanted to point one thing out, just again as a reminder, that we had decided to add these definitions in instead of putting a reference or a URL to where these definitions are coming from, because we wanted this to be generally applicable to all TLDs and not just gTLDs, which is the source of this definition, I guess. So that's just one thing more I wanted to add in this context. Sorry, to just, I think we are on a different line of discussion, so I'll stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Samad. That's very useful. But there was one particular question. Is this taken verbatim or did we paraphrase it?
No, this is verbatim definition from the legal, I guess, terminology agreed between GTLDs and ICANN. It's posted somewhere.
Okay. Dennis, you had your hand up and then... were you going to speak? That's why you put it down, or you?
Yeah, thank you, Edmund. Okay. Yeah, so just quickly, yes. Support and coming agree with what Carl's position or he said a few minutes ago. It's about introducing. So what's it is true. This is a definition found somewhere verbatim, but what would be new to these guidelines, because they are binding, they're introducing new language into basically the contract, right, and requirements. So we have to be careful about that.
Thank you. Matt?
If I understand it correctly, then those definitions are already binding for those that the guidelines are binding. By the new GTLDs. So they don't change anything. So it would be wrong for us to change the definitions of security and stability. I still think it's good that we have them. I think that we should have a reference to where they were found. And I think that they should be moved to section 2.6 terminology, and we'll refer to that section for the definitions of security and stability in recommendation 9. And I don't think that we should change anything in the text.
Thank you, Matt. I think it's probably easy to agree that is outside of the scope of this particular working group to define security and stability. And I think the best way is probably to say much less. I understand it's easier for the reader if it's somewhere there, but maybe we will, you know, we might be, based on the response from registry stakeholder group, we may be confusing the matter more than making it clear for people. So I'm not so sure that completely striking it out is not necessarily a bad idea, actually. At least I bring this up, I throw this to think about, you know, if people already, security and stability is repeated with time and again in ICANN discussion and documents. Perhaps this is one of the things that we shouldn't touch on at all, and we should just, you know, delete both footnotes and, you know, GTLD registries already know, or at least there is already a somewhat understanding framework, which is what Samad already pointed out, and CCTLDs have probably another or similar understanding, and we don't want to touch on it at all. That would be my quick proposal. I haven't really thought through it, but at least that may be something that we can think about. Cal, and then back to Matt. So, but Samad, you had your hand up earlier. I just want to make sure if you inadvertently put it down, you put it up again. Cal first, and then Matt. Cal?
Yeah, I actually just wanted to agree with you, Edmund. I support removing it. Just a quick search, and it appears that text is contained within the RCEP definition, where I think it's very appropriate, but that's a very different context to we're not introducing any particular new service as part of IDNs, and so it's not quite appropriate to include it here, I think. So, yeah, I think for the reasons already discussed, and clearly the registry stakeholder group doesn't feel that that's it helps clarify, it actually helps confuse, I think. So I recommend we remove it.
I see Samad, thank you, Cal, and see Samad's note. I don't necessarily think so, because we're just not talking about it at all and let other definitions hold. At least that's on my mind. Matt?
I agree with Sarmad, and it will be more vague and could be interpreted much broader and much more unclear. I think that we should as I said several times, move it to the section 2.6 and there say that in this document we use the term security as defined here, and then refer to the source and copy the text to make it easy for the reader to see what it is. That's my suggestion.
Right, Matt, this is Edmund. I guess the problem that I myself and Cal and probably Dennis as well is raising is that the context of the definition right now is buried under RCEP. It's the Registry Services Evaluation Process. And that's one of the contexts. And we don't want to be the group that kind of legalizes it or propagates it into a definitive definition is one of the worries that I have right now. Unless we have a very authoritative definitive source to point to, I have some reservations about pointing to some text that is not, you know, somewhat universally agreed to. And therefore, I think not having definition is actually safer for us. I understand they might feel broader, but actually is not in this particular context in my view. And I see Samit putting his hand up. But Max,
thank you.
Samit first.
Yeah, thank you. So from what I understand, I think if registry GTLD is adding a particular IDN table, it goes through an RCEP. And if it goes through an RCEP, it actually, the same definitions are applicable in that process of adding that IDN table to the registry service. So in that particular context, I think reference LGRs review of IDN tables, this particular definition could also be applicable. So from that perspective, we have the same set of definitions which would guide an evaluation of an IDN table which is added as a new service. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So you're saying that practically this is already the case, which I don't think anybody is denying that. The question really, I think, as a group we should consider is how much do we want to lend authority to a particular text on this very central issue for ICANN? I mean, security and stability is used a lot of times, and if it's not a very well universally understood and somewhat consensus, then I'm worried that we are overstepping a little bit in propagating some text that was created for a specific purpose. That's my view and concern. Cal?
Yeah, I made the point in the chat that I think if the registry agreement doesn't define stability and yet it still uses stability as part of the language, then I think it's inappropriate for this document, which will be subordinate to the registry agreement, to effectively redefine that term. I think we introduce all kinds of issues and introduce this kind of definition, sort of an authoritative definition within what will be a legal document for many operators. I think there's no harm to non-GTLDs if we leave out this definition, because they are today free to make their own determinations about stability and security. So we're not providing less advice than we would otherwise provide to them in any case. So I think given that we have a contract that doesn't dictate the term, and we have non-contracted parties that are free to make up their own definition anyway, it's probably best to simply remove it.
Matt, and then Samad.
We use the terms stability and security, and what they mean is much more unclear if we don't have a definition. And here we have definitions used in the same context as these guidelines are used. For IDN tables, for contracted GTLDs. So I think these definitions fit very well into the context that we are working. And it really explains what we mean by stability and security. So I think we should stick to them so that the text is more clear to the reader.
Okay, thank you, Matt. So it seems to me that there is pretty strong feeling from Matt and probably would kind of support in some ways that we have some text around this, but I'm still pretty concerned with it. There's also pretty strong opinion on not including them. Perhaps I may suggest, given the comment, it seems like it's useful to at least move it to a different section and, you know, move it away from direct a reference to guideline 9, because that shouldn't be the focus of the issue. Then make a big highlight on this specifically. If we move it to the terminology. And we can come back to see whether that, you know, the set of, when we talk about the set of terminologies, when we do the final read through the document and see if it fits in well with the entire set of terminology. Does that make sense as a action point from the discussion? Okay. Yes, from Matt. So basically the idea is to remove the footnote, put in terminology, highlight it for further review when we get there. All right. Anything else on this on comment 7? Seeing none. Number 8. The term same registrant should be defined in guideline 12. Guideline 12. What's guideline 12? IDN variant labels generated by an IDN table must be A, allocated the same registrant, or B, blocked from registration. Okay. I guess it should be same registrant as the primary label or something like that. Is that that is why the reason for the question? Any thoughts from others? Matt?
Could the term same registrant be ambiguous? In principle, the same registrant,
right,
might go to one registrar first and then to a second registrar to register the variant. Is that still the same registrant, or?
That is a very good point. Perhaps we should update it to say it's the same registration. So it is one registration. Would that solve the issue or make it even more complicated? Cal? And well, Matt, you still have your hand up. But Cal and then Dennis.
I was just wondering whether perhaps there's a point of confusion around whether the registrant, whether they mean specifically or whether this guideline is specific to the same contact object or just generally to someone who shares the same email address and a name that could be a different contact object or some other interpretation of what is the same. Because, as you know, you can have multiple contact objects which actually contain the same data, and generally that would be considered okay, although that is potentially not necessarily locking a variance to the same contact because it could be changed separate to the alternative contact with whatever it's a variant of. So that's the point of confusion is whether it's apparently the same or actually the same.
Right. I guess that's the part where we need to think about as I was saying, you know, a suggestion maybe change it to the same register. You know, we really need to tie it back to the same domain, and that it's one registration. It's not like the same registrant can be registering like five different domains, right? I mean, it could be registering five different domains from five different registrars as well. So maybe that's the direction that we need to clarify, please. Dennis, then Matt, and Samar.
Thank you. I'm reading the Registered Shareholder Group comment document, and they do not actually want the guidance to define the registrant term. It's more on the lines that registered operator must publish their binding policy on their website so that they make it clear what same registrant means for that registry operator.
Thank you, Dennis. So, but just to clarify, you're saying that what the question actually tries to ask, I kind of missed the main point. So what, they're not actually asking us to define what we mean by same registrant.
Right. So, this is what they say verbatim in their document, right? And maybe just interpretation.
Dennis, please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me well? I think maybe I'm coming. So the comment says, the proposed guideline is missing a definition of same registrant. We further recommend adding clarifying language to state that our registrant operator must publish the value activation policy in its public website. So they are just stating that the definition is missing. They don't actually ask him for one, but they are saying that this should be up to the registry operator to define.
Okay, got it. So Maps and then Samad.
I think the proposal of the same registration does not solve anything because that would mean that we have to define the same registration. Same registrant could maybe be explained by, i.e., the same person or legal entity or something. Question I have on mind, I mean, if you have two variants, can you transfer one variant and keep one? Or must they be bundled? Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. I guess as Dennis was saying, I think the intent of the comment is not really to that this is a problem, but that the actual definition should actually drive back to the registry itself, and we can stay where we are, except that we need to make that pointer more clear. I think that at least that's what Dennis was saying in my mind. Samad, and I should call Samad.
Right. So I think I'm reading the document again as well, the one submitted by RYSG, and it seems like it's a paragraph. And the way at least I understand it is that in that paragraph, the first sentence is pointing towards guideline 12. And the second sentence is actually pointing to guideline 13, which is below it. So I would probably not read or interpret the second sentence in the context of guideline 12, but for guideline 13, which means that for guideline 12, the only comment which RYSC has is the proposed guideline is missing the definition of same registrant, which is also, I think, what I captured in the summary. So I think, again, at least my interpretation of those comments is that they are asking us to provide the definition of same registrant. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, of course, the same registrant can be probably more defined as, maybe having somebody with the same, something like an ROID or something, but that's just too much implementation detail. And then there's some registries which may not implement those details. So I'm not really sure whether if that's what is being asked for, or if there is just a general confusion, which Edmund, you were saying, that can be resolved by saying that the same registrant owning or registering the base, or the original making the original registration. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm trying to find out whether we have defined that anywhere, and if so, it's easier. Whether we call it base or primary domain or something. Cal?
Yeah, I was actually just trying to find the original comments. I'm still looking. But I think that reading through... thank you, Sarah. That's helpful. Reading through point 12, I can understand why someone would have that confusion. So I don't object to just adding some clarification to guideline 12 and asking registry operators to define what same registrant is as far as their policies are concerned. Because if we choose not to add implementation details, such as whether they are apparently the same or actually the same, there's actually not much more we can define in terms of the same registrant, because a registrant is also an implementation-specific, effectively an implementation-specific definition. So depending on exactly how registry operator manages contacts and registrants, that will be how they define whether the same contact has exactly the same contact as the multiple zone access, or it's these two contacts which are apparently the same. So because it is so implementation specific, I think it makes sense to make that recommendation to registry operators to simply explicitly say it. For their implementation, what does same registrant mean?
Thank you, Cal. And yeah, I think that's fair statement. And taking from what Samad was saying, actually that's really comment 9, which we are supposed to talk about. So in specific to comment 8 that is being listed by Samad here, perhaps the simple edit would be just A, allocated the same registrant off the primary IDN label, because we did define primary IDN in the document. So that should make it really clear and how the relationship in terms of implementation, operational details, and that's explicitly left up to the registry. And we can go to comment 9 and see if we need to clarify that further. Does that work for people? No, just adding off the primary IDN label to the sentence. Does that make sense? I see that's a fine. Yes, so at least for 8, that's perhaps how we...
Yeah, this is Dennis. I'm just quick. Primary IDN is a... I mean, I have concern with saying that the region has to go to the primary or whoever the region of the primary domain name is. Just because, I mean, what is a primary domain name? Right, that's
right. So we do have a definition at the in the terminology. We do have a definition in the terminology section. If we want to change that, we can just make consistent changes to here as well. If we in different contexts, it has been called the base or the primary, usually one of the two. We can pick one and use it and make sure we define it properly. But for the purposes of this particular sentence, I think that should make it more clear. I think, and your point about, you know, making sure we define it properly, I think that should be, that could be dealt with in the terminology section. Would that work?
Yeah, I think so. I'm reading the definition now. Yeah, I think that would work. Yeah. This context. Thank you.
Okay. That's good. So I guess we're good with comment 8. Anything else? Now we have 7 minutes to go. Are there anything we need to organize before for our next meetings before we close, or should we spend it on comment 9? We are going back to the weekly meeting or biweekly? Is that
we are on weekly schedule.
See that we skipped one. Okay, we're on weekly schedule and we don't really have any. And we'll go back to that, right? And it's just that we skipped last meeting probably because of travel and everything. Okay, let's spend the last 5 minutes starting comment 9. Guideline 12 should be further clarified by stating the registry operator must publish the variant activation policy in its public website. Okay. Seems reasonable. And yeah, I guess we could just take that comment and add that when we do the I guess wordsmithing. Is there maps?
Well, this is more a comment on recommendation 13. I find it too long, and I kind of have a memory that we have discussed this before. Do you think there's some other comments, if we scroll up, that have commented this number 13? And that we had a discussion on breaking this recommendation 13 up into at least two, if not three, recommendations?
We're still on number 12, though, guideline 12. I think comment 9 is right. So specifically about guideline 12, to clarify that, you know, this should be included in its variant activation policy or whatever wording that we end up with.
Is that part of number 12, then? It sounds like a different recommendation. Twelve B rather, because it's a different thing. I mean, we shouldn't put two things into a recommendation if it doesn't make really sense to do it. If there are two different aspects that we recommend, it's better to have two small recommendations than one larger.
Okay. Personally, though, I don't feel that it is completely different. I think, you know, if I imagine how to add it, it's probably event labels, blah blah blah, and such process included in the variant policies of the registry posted to the registry website or something.
I don't say that you can't write it into one text. I mean, we could collapse all the recommendations into one text. But my suggestion is that we keep things as smaller, separate recommendations if that works, because it's easier to discuss the recommendations, the point that recommendation, if they're small and contains one thing rather than if they contain multiple things. It's the same thing that we discussed on number 13. That it contains too much things. So my suggestion is that we create a 12B, which talked about the publishing activation policy.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Samad?
Thanks. So actually, just reading this RYSG9, which is I guess a summary document which I have created, maybe you know, it, even though I've added that it's pointing to guideline 12, you know, just what I was reading now and I shared earlier, since this talks about not the allocation policy but the activation policy, maybe it's sort of somehow pointing not only to 12 but also to 13 in a way. I'm not really sure whether it was intended to modify or add to guideline 12 or guideline 13, just because of the use of word activation rather than allocation. Thank you. So I think we may want to look at the original comment and not take my interpretation of that it's actually pointing to guideline 12 and not guideline 13.
Okay. Thank you, Samad. I think that's a useful clarification. And that also seems to me means that perhaps we should comment 9 and comment 10 together next time. And we're running to the top of the hour, and I think this is probably a good place to draw a line and wrap this meeting up. And next time probably we should take 9 and 10 together and focus on, start from recommendation 13 and with some relevance to guideline 12 as well. Okay. If that makes sense, then that's
we are at the top of the hour. Any further comment before we close the session? Hearing none, thank you. Thank you for joining. Talk to all of you again in a week's time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.